I have a very powerful message today. We're out in the middle of a very intense series. This is probably going to be the most intense messages of all this series, if you can believe this. We're right in the middle of a series called the Mount Hebron Inheritance. I'm going to give you a little bit of review. Hallelujah. We're talking about the mountain of generational inheritance, the Mount Hebron inheritance that started with Abraham when God buried Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All their wives were buried in this mountain 400 years before Moses, the spies and the children of Israel came into the promised land. As soon as they came into the promised land, the spies gravitated south. The first place they went was Mount Hebron. That's where the grapes were. That's where the produce was. It was the prized possession of the promised land. The Holy Spirit directed them directly to that mountain. The giants of Anak were sitting on that mountain. They were seizing illegally, took control of the mountain, but that mountain was producing fruit because Abraham, that anointing that was upon Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the anointing and the mantle of generational inheritance was buried in that mountain. Hallelujah. 400 years later, it's producing fruit that it takes the size two men to carry out on staves, grapes from the vineyard of God. Amen. Caleb thought enough about that mountain that he withstood a 45-year stand of faith. Held that mountain in his heart for 45 years. That's the one he wanted. After 45 years, he goes, I want this part of the promised land. He got to pick and choose. Joshua said, what do you want? And he goes, I want that mountain. You know, that one we were at 45 years ago. He inherited the mountain. King David was crowned there. God multiplied him from 600 men to 348,000 in 3 days. The crown of that mountain came over David and the government released its multiplication, multiplied him to 348,000 men in 3 days of being crowned in that mountain. Say 3 days. That's powerful. That created the greatest Old Testament reign from David all the way into Solomon. We looked at all of that. And then we began last week to look at what we call the King of Tyre. Now I'm going to just review a minute, go to Ezekiel chapter 26. We're not going to spend a lot of time in this. Last week we looked at Ezekiel 26, 27, and 28 in depth. This week we're going to look at Isaiah 23. But I want to just review a moment. In Ezekiel 26, just to catch you up, the Mediterranean Sea was called the Great Sea, and the historians refer to it as the Great Sea of Commerce. All of the world's commerce during this time and age was being run through this sea. That's where everything was being done. It fed into the Nile and Egypt. It fed to Rome. Everybody who was doing commerce was on that sea. And Tyre was situated on this sea. Okay, so Ezekiel 26... And so we're going to pick this up. You ready to learn something today? Ezekiel 26, I'm just going to review for a couple of minutes. Verse 2, Son of man, because Tyre has set against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken that was the gates of the people. She has turned to me, and now I shall be replenished, and now she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am against thee, O Tyre, and I'll cause many nations to come up against thee. He goes on in verse 7 to talk about and prophesy that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come against Tyre. Very important. Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander were the chief ones that took Tyre down to its knees. Verse I want you to hone in on is, aha, she was the gates of the people. The gates of the people, which Jerusalem, speaking of Solomon's day, where Solomon had conglomerated the world's wealth all into one place, Jerusalem. It was the trading center of the world. Anybody that was going to do anything in this life, they would be doing it out of Jerusalem. During Solomon's day, all of the wealth, all the trafficking of the world was done during Solomon's day. When Solomon fell, his wealth survived 400 years of plunderings. We looked at this last week. It's definitely in the notes. 7 international plunderings of Jerusalem alone over 400 years, and they still didn't get it all because Nebuchadnezzar took it down. He took all of the wealth. Folks specifically said he took David's wealth into Babylon with him. During this time, what happened, all that wealth that was originating with Solomon, that originated with David, that originated with Mount Hebron, that originated with Abraham, all of God's planting, all of that wealth didn't just disappear. It was conglomerated in a place called Tyre. He says that the gates of Jerusalem had been broken. Now I'm being replenished. And now Tyre began to boast of the fact that I now own the wealth. I'm sitting on the world's finances. Now, we looked at this last week, in particularly go over to chapter 28. This is where it gets interesting. We want to find out who the king of Tyre was. The way I got into this series was the Lord asked me a question. He said, why would the devil, all his pomp and glory, call himself the king of a city they spread fish nets upon when he boasts to be the god of this world system? Because in specifically speaking in Ezekiel 28, if you look at Ezekiel 28, it says, verse 12, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Notice who's described here. Take a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say to him, thus saith the Lord, you sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. And now he goes, you have been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. He began to describe the devil before his fall. He was creation of God. Many of you don't know that. Some of you do. He was actually the worship leader before his fall as Lucifer in heaven. He was the order of archangel. Notice what he says here in verse 14. He says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He called him anointed cherub. Kings are not anointed cherubs. Cherubs are angels. But this was a different kind of king, because it wasn't just a natural king, because it wasn't just a natural city. You have to understand what the devil was doing. He was describing the devil right there. You're the anointed cherub that covereth. I set thee so until your fall. You can go ahead and read about this. We looked at this last week. But he was crowning himself king over a city, because what he was doing was counterfeiting what Solomon had in Jerusalem. He took all of that and said, now I will be king. I'm king of the world. I'm king of the world's wealth. This is my city. I'm the anointed chair, but I will be called king of this city, because he was calling himself king of the wealth of the world. Now, why did he do this? He'd never done this before Solomon's day. Never had to. No other king did what Solomon did. It wasn't just about the wealth. It was about the glory. It was about the priesthood. It was about the wisdom. It was the fact that all the kings of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom. All the queens of the earth came. All the peoples of the earth. Nobody had done what Solomon and David had done in their generation. When all of the kings, they were ordering mass evangelism. It was hubbed right out of Jerusalem. Solomon was administrating the wealth of the world. The glory of God was upon it. He had a 24-hour priesthood, and kings and queens, like the Queen of Sheba, would fall on their knees when they came into the glory. He said, the wisdom and that prosperity exceeded anything I've ever seen. The nations were impressed. Kings were impressed. And they all came. Nobody had done that before. And because of that, the enemy struck Solomon. And he diverted his attention. I want to get in all that because I want to get further into Tyre today. But that's when the fall came. And over 400 years it was plundered, but then it all came into a city called Tyre. And the devil says, I'm king of this city. I'm boasting that the gates of Jerusalem broken. Now all this is mine. And that's when God said, I will bring Nebuchadnezzar on your walls. Amen. So he prophesied this in 26 and 27, the prophecy that God was going to come and take down Tyre. And sure enough, Nebuchadnezzar did take Tyre down. He leveled it. Now, this is very important about the history of this, because I'm about to show you a prophecy that directly contradicts history about Tyre. You can go to Isaiah 23. Nebuchadnezzar leveled Tyre, took all of the wealth of Tyre and took it to Babylon. That's very important. He stored it in the vault underneath Babylon. Now, why is that important? Because the same time he did that, he took Jerusalem too Remember the captivity of the children of Israel? How many years were they in captivity? 70. And they were all mourning that they had lost everything. But God had the entire nation's wealth up underneath Babylon while they were serving in captivity. He had all their wealth right up underneath Babylon, waiting for another king to arise named Cyrus that was going to take Babylon down and bring it all back. Isn't that glorious? So now Nebuchadnezzar takes Tyre down. He brings it all to Babylon. And Babylon becomes great, powerful, and mighty. Now let's go to Isaiah 23. Now that was all review. Praise God. Now, history tells us that Alexander comes along 200 years later and he completely levels Tyre. But Tyre never ever became a trading market again after Nebuchadnezzar's day. But Isaiah 23 tells us it does. Now this is huge. So we're going to begin in Isaiah 23. The burden of Tyre. How you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. Be still, verse 2, you inhabitants of the island, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have been replenished. Verse 3, by the great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue. She is a mart of nations. She is a merchandising mart of nations. Some of your Bibles will speak of that. Go down to verse 8. Who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed to stain the pride of all glory and to bring in contempt all the honorable of the earth. Now, this is actually speaking not just of Tyre of that day, but it's speaking of the Tyre of our day. The Lord has purposed to stain the pride of all glory. Verse 11. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. For the Lord has given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. Now this is the one, the devil himself. When the devil calls himself the king of a city, when he boasts to be the god of this world system, you better wake up to find out what that city is. Especially since that city was wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar. It's still alive today. This is not a natural city, no more than the devil was a natural king. He was an anointed cherub that covered. He was the order of cherub before his fall. And there was an angelic principality of the order of cherub named the devil himself. He called himself king over that city. He ruled that city until its fall, but he still ruled it. How do I know that? There is a prophecy in this passage of scripture that has not been fulfilled, speaking of a global wealth transference. There was never a time it could be fulfilled until now. We are in a time frame right now, and I believe we're within months of this prophecy being fulfilled. And I'm going to share with you, I've been sitting on this for 25 years, and just recently I got the revelation of what I was asking for 25 years. Verse 14, how you ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. Verse 15, it shall come to pass in that day, the Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. Say 70 years, that's 70. According to the days of one king, at the end of the 70 years, Tyre would sing as a harlot. Take up a harp, go about the city, thou harlot that's been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And it should come to pass at the end of 70 years, the Lord would visit Tyre, and she would turn to her hire, back to what she was, but she would commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Now, when you look at scholars, they'll say, well, this is referring to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, because the days of one king, but then Tyre would revive. And Tyre never revived. They were saying, well, this is the day Nebuchadnezzar, you remember, he took the children of Israel, they were in captivity, so is that 70 years, because they were in captivity? No, this was foreshadowing another time, because Tyre never revived. Once Nebuchadnezzar wiped out Tyre. It removed the trading markets. 200 years later, Alexander comes and levels the entire city. But it never revives. But this scripture said that it did revive. But it did. It never did, but it did. What's this speaking about? It was talking about another day. It was talking about another king. For 25 years, I said, who is this king? What is this 70 years? Never since Solomon's day, never since Tyre, has there been a global economic system where all nations were involved. It was always one ruler ruling. But this prophesied of a global economic system where Tyre, she would revive again and commit fornication. Listen to this word. With all the kingdoms. Say all. She would commit fornication with all. What is Tyre? Tyre is a financial system. Although natural Tyre was destroyed, spiritual Tyre, the same one the devil is king of, that has not been destroyed. He's been ruling the wealth of the nations since the fall of Solomon. But God's going to change that in this hour. Because there's never been a wealth transference. Even the early church did not get a wealth transference. Why? You know one's coming. Look at what this scripture says. Verse 17, it shall come to pass. That's your trial. It'll come and it'll pass. Trust me. At the end of 70 years, the Lord would visit Tyre. Said the Lord would visit her. And she would turn to her hire. She would do what she did. What is she? She's a financial system. But this time, she's going to become a global financial system. You ever heard of one world government? The powers that be in the world are keep pressing and pressing and pressing. They're going to get it, but God's going to do something when they get it. Notice what he says here. Before we leave the earth, God's going to birth an apostolic government, and he's going to birth a wealth transference. The people of God are going to receive it. It shall come to pass at the end of 70 years, the Lord would visit Tyre, and she would turn to her hire, and she would commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. What kind of fornication would she commit? Financial intercourse, because that's what she does. But all the kingdoms of the world are going to be involved in this one. Say all. This has not happened. Because it's speaking of this day. Just like, go to Haggai for a minute. Book of Haggai. You might as well get accustomed to Haggai, because Haggai, when you see him in heaven, he's going to ask you, did you read my two chapters? He said, yes, our pastor made us read it. Go to Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. Now, this was speaking of the time of Zerubbabel and Joshua when they came out of Babylon, came back to rebuild the temple, and God had this prophecy to stir him up. But there was another prophecy of wealth transference in Haggai that never got fulfilled. I don't know if that excites you or not. Because there's not much time left on the earth. So obviously these prophecies are for our generation. I'm going to show you what I believe and why I believe we're going to be in within months of these prophecies being fulfilled. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord, once again, in a little while, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations will come in. I'll fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. For the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And in this place I'll give prosperity. For the glory of this latter-day house will be greater than the former. Say, the glory will be greater than the former. But do you remember the men that were there in the former house that survived the 70 years, and they came back and they were weeping at the rebuilding of the second temple, and they wept because it never reached its former glory. But here Haggai said it would be greater. And he was specifically speaking of wealth. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. I'm going to shake all heaven. The treasures of all nations will come into my house. It never happened. It didn't happen in the early church. It didn't happen in any generation since. Because it was speaking of another day that the glory would come on the church. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, this place I'm going to give it. Now go back to Isaiah 23. Financial fornication. Tyre would sing about as a harlot. And she would fornicate financially with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Now, I'm going to have to give you a little bit of a lesson today in natural economics, things you might not understand about how our world works, especially since 1944. In July of 1944, Bretton Woods, something happened at the Bretton Woods Conference. Do you know what July of 2014 represents? 70 years since July of 1944 created a king, but not like a natural king, because we're not talking about cities that kings rule over. We're talking about financial systems. Tyre is a financial system. To understand this prophecy, you have to understand what Tyre is. The devil controls through financial systems. Back to Isaiah 23. I actually gave an assignment this week to find out who could break this. And Tommy over here took 5 minutes on my assignment. And he said, I got one word for you. IMF. I'm like, I cannot believe you just said that. He hit it right on the nail. A lot of people don't know what IMF is. It's called the International Monetary Fund. A lot of people don't know what's going on with the IMF right now. Let's go back to the scripture for a minute. Verse 17, Isaiah 23. Just so you know, this is alive and well. When the Lord was 40 days temptation in the wilderness, you remember what the devil did with him? Took him up to an exceedingly high mountain. That was not a natural mountain. He took him to his control center. When you talk about mountains, he didn't stick him on a natural mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world peripherally. He took him to a spiritual mountain, his control center. He took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. What's the glory of kingdoms? Their wealth. He showed him all the kingdoms. He said, now look, you don't have to do this, what you're doing. I'll give it to you. All this stuff I'll give to you if you'll bow down. I'll give it to you. I control it. You know, the Lord didn't argue with him. Do you know that? The Lord himself, when the devil took him there, he did not argue with him. He knew, and if you want to read that, you can read it later in Luke chapter 4. The Lord didn't argue with him because the Lord knew that the Father was about to reassign it all to him. Remember what he said? All that the Father has is mine. See, he knew the devil had stolen all that by default. The devil doesn't do anything new. He controls the world, he says, the God of this world system, because he stole it from Adam. He controls the wealth because he stole it from Solomon, which was David's, which was Mount Ebron's, which was Abraham's, which was God's. And when it's God's, he can give it back anytime he wants to. That's why when the children of Israel sitting in Babylon, all their wealth was up underneath them. God made sure of it. Took all the wealth of Tyre and shoved it up underneath Babylon. Pretty cool. So he took him to a spiritual stronghold. Where do you think he took him? Something called Tyre. Something that he was controlling. Said, all this I'll give to you, it's mine. Now God says it's his. Since God reassigned it to his new heir, then God has the power to give it to whom he wants to give it. So now that we know that, look at Isaiah 23 again. Watch this prophecy. Verse 17. It shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord would visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, commit financial fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth, and her merchandise, verse 18, and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord, It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently for durable clothing. Whatever's happening, the merchandise of hire, when this global economic system comes in and this financial fornication with all the kingdoms of the world begins to engage, there's going to be a wealth transference. It's not going to be laid up as before. God's going to enter into the system and he's going to pull that wealth out and he's going to distribute it to his people. And the prophecy of Haggai chapter 2 is going to come to pass. Once again, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I'm going to enter into the global wealth system. God has his eye on this. And forever, I got this 20 years ago. Can you imagine sitting on this for 20 years? Every year came, well, maybe it's 1999. Calculate, calculate, calculate. Because I'm always wondering, what is this 70 years? I couldn't get it forever. Because the world events had not come together that I had a registry of what was going on. And just recently, I felt like the Holy Spirit shared to me what's happening. Now I'm going to ask you to have ears to hear what I'm about to tell you. Because some of you don't realize the way global economics work right now. It says, according to the days of one king. Now, we know this wasn't Nebuchadnezzar because we know Tyre revived and natural Tyre never did revive. So this one king was another type of king. This king was in operation, listen, for 70 years. This king was in operation. Let me tell you what happened 70 years ago. In 1944, there was a Bretton Woods conference. During that conference, they had decided that the U.S. dollar was going to be the world reserve currency. And they were going to back it partially by gold. Partially. They were going to back it by gold, but it was going to be the world's reserve currency. And that currency was going to run by oil. In other words, all the oil producing countries were going to have to denominate oil. Their oil sales and their oil purchases in U.S. dollars. This U.S. dollar is created by the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve may sound like it's a governmental institution, but how many of you know the Federal Reserve is not a government institution? The Federal Reserve is a U.S. central bank, which the forefathers of our nation fought against because they left the tyranny of a central bank operation in England, not to have another one here. They fought it and fought it and fought it. But 1917, they conceived the Federal Reserve. By 1944, they had the U.S. dollar and the Federal Reserve. This thing became the world's reserve currency. What did that mean? Well, not a lot back then, but it means a lot now. Because during the Nixon years, they took this thing off of the gold standard altogether. What does that mean? That the people who print this freely. Do you realize that the national debt is never, ever going to get paid? Because the national debt, this is a debt instrument. They create this and loan it to our government. Politicians, listen to me. Not only do they loan it to our government, they loan it to the world's governments. You ever hear about these nations that are falling apart under debt? Do you know why they're falling apart under debt? You know, honest country is the only country thus far, Iceland, that finally stood up to the bankers and kicked them all out. Said, get out! Politicians cannot resist free money. If you're a politician and somebody comes up and says, we have loans for you. You want loan A, B, C, or D, or E, free. What do you want to do? What do you want to do for your country? Oh, well, here's a billion. What do you want to do? Here's a billion. Oh, don't worry about it. Pay back later. Here's another billion. Listen, if you can print this with no resistance, with nothing that backs it, you can freely print it, then you can sabotage nations by giving them everything they want. First of all, you make them dependent on you. By giving them everything they want, you don't ask for anything in return. Just keep giving, and you get them used to free money. How would you like to have $100,000 or $1 million? Free. Pay it back later. You ever heard of the system called debt? Buy now, pay it back later. But this in government, it's not built around your ability to pay. They don't care if you pay, because what they're after is they want to enslave the nation. Because later on, they're going to come just like they did in Cyprus. It says, payback time. You owe us. When Iceland was brought to their knees in debt, the politicians finally repented and started kicking all the bankers and said, we will not do this again. But this is what they do. They loan dollar after dollar after dollar after dollar to countries. So the debt of countries keeps building, building, building. This is called King Dollar, by the way. And if a country doesn't go along with a plan of King Dollar, they will sabotage that country. They will go to war with that country. Why do you think we went to war with Iraq? It wasn't weapons of mass destruction. It was over oil. Because Saddam Hussein said, I don't want to denominate anymore in your dollars. And they said, oh, yes, you will denominate in our dollars. So did Egypt, said the same thing. Every time a country decides they don't want to denominate in this, there seems to be a war. But the news media is not going to pitch it like that. Now, I'm not getting into conspiracy theory with you. I'm just telling you how this thing works. This little thing right here is a controller of nations, because it's freely printed with nothing that backs it. And they can freely give it to whoever they want to. Because the Federal Reserve, you can check this out yourself, is an unauditable institution. They do not audit it. Have never been audited and never will be audited. And when anybody asks the question, they don't ask the question. They don't keep their jobs if they ask the question. You can type that in. Federal Reserve audit. Nobody audit. Rand Paul's been asking to audit, but nobody's, because half the politicians are in the back pocket of King Dollar. I believe the king, listen to this, was this guy right here. It was this system that was created right here. The days of one king, by the way, his lifespan is coming to an end. Have you heard of quantitative easing? They've been printing and printing and printing and printing, but now their system of flushing in new money and keep flushing in new money, it's not working anymore. So our own government's buying back our own debt. They create these to buy these. You see that? They create dollars to buy dollars, because our whole system is around the sale of these. We have to have countries buy this. It's called our national debt. That's why it keeps growing over and over and over and again. Remember, it used to be $4 trillion, no big deal. What is it, $16 trillion now? $17 trillion, be adding trillion a year. What do you think that is? King Dollar at work, being loaned out to the nations. Well, the nations are tired of that. There's a new system. It's called Basel III. The new system where there are powers in the earth that have decided that nations, see, the people who want this like the fact it's not backed by anything, because then they can freely print it. If you back it by something, it restricts its printing. Well, they've decided they're going to create a new system now. It's called Basel III. The Basel III system is going to be, ready for this? A conglomeration of all nations' currencies. Some of you may have been in African countries. You've seen what happens to dollar. Anybody seen what happened to the peso? When you print any kind of currency wild, it'll eventually completely lose its value altogether. That's why this would have bought, you remember when a candy bar was a quarter? Now they're up over a dollar. Same candy bar. It just takes more of these to buy it, because more of them are in circulation now. That means it's less worth and worth. It's less. It's worth less and less and less. That's called inflation. What is inflation? Print more of these. The ones you have can't buy as much anymore. Yeah, you may get more for your house, but go try to buy another house with the more you got. You follow me? More of these in circulation, the less that they're worth. Now, I believe this is the king speaking of in Isaiah 23. Let me tell you about the new system. They've decided there's going to be a new system, and they're going to reset currencies according to the asset of the country they live in. If the country is rich in oil, then they're going to attach the currency to the asset of the country. And that's going to keep King Dollar. Now, we like it because King Dollar's been the king. We've had a lot of prosperity because of this thing. But a lot of nations have gone broke because of this. Now, Isaiah 23 says there's going to be a new system where all the kingdoms of the earth are going to get to participate. Do you know right now the IMF is slated to run the next system? Tommy, you nailed that. You can look all this up if you want to. Or you can just listen to me. I'm just telling you how it is. The IMF's going to run a new system where there's going to be asset-backed currencies. If my currency in my country is backed by the asset or the future wealth, let's say I'm rich in diamonds, it's not going to just be my present worth in diamonds. They're going to do a ledger sheet of what I'm worth 20 years from now based on what I'm bringing out of the ground, and they're going to attach that value to my currency. You can't come in and devalue my currency because it's backed by the asset. The asset will not allow you to devalue my currency like they did in Kuwait. Remember when we went to war with Kuwait? The Kuwaiti dinar was trading, listen to this, $3.50. $3.50 for one Kuwaiti dinar, three U.S. dollars. When we went to war, you could buy a million Kuwaiti dollars for $1,000. The big boys knew that. They devalued the currency. This is all history. When they devalued it, they bought all the currency up, and then they revalued it. And boom! Had that Kuwaiti dinar been attached to their oil, they could not have done that. That's called financial sabotage. That's not the only country they've done that with. Egypt, Iraq, you go down the line. Vietnam. Now countries are tired of this. They're tired of what's called sabotage. Now countries are tired of being sabotaged. They want their currency stable and fixed. So they've all got together with the IMF. And there's a big battle going on. Because the IMF said, we want all the countries to have their currencies revalued at the rate of their asset. And when you attach to the asset, you can't devalue it anymore. Wreck the currency. Wreck the nation. That's what happened to Iraq. Their currency was being traded at $3.50 too. You know what you can buy a million Iraqi dinars for? $1,000. Remember when the pesos? Mexico, that's what happens. They want to change all this to make an even playing field. Why? Because one king has been ruling them all and telling them, I'm going to devalue your currency. You're going to let me be king. But there is a prophecy that says that this king's going to get unseated and that Tyre would revive into a global world system where all the kingdoms of the world don't get demolished, but they get to be apart. They all get to fornicate. The other nations are not fornicating. They're just getting taken. You understand? But once they attach to their value, all the kingdoms of the world, all the currencies of the world, there's supposed to be about 198 currencies that are going to reset according to the asset of their country. This is all in the works right now. You may not know it, but it's happening. Amen? Smart people are positioned to make money on this. What is 70 years from 1944, July. You know, I was sitting here and there was an article that passed by me and it said the 70th year of King Dollar is coming in July. And I said, oh, that's the king. That's the king. I've been looking for 25 years. Who's the king? Who's the king? I kept looking for a natural king. But the Lord said, this is not a natural. This is a system. It's a financial system. Yeah, the king of Tyre still be over the new system too. But it's going to be a global system. But God's going to enter into this one. When this reset happens, God's people are going to get positioned. There's going to be a massive windfall of wealth transference. You're going to come out of the nations into the God's hands, and it's going to be right before the apostolic government comes into fullness, where God's final bride displays her glory to the earth before she's taken out of the earth. And then the Antichrist gets to have his one world system, and you don't want to be here when he does that. But King Dollar, do you know that there is another dollar already set to replace this one? This is called a Federal Reserve note. The Federal Reserve, there's another one called a Treasury Reserve note. You're going to begin seeing these. They're going to exchange them one for one, because this is going to have its day. The Treasury Reserve note is going to be like everybody else. They're going to back our Treasury Reserve notes. They're going to back our notes with the assets of our country. Oil assets, the ones we haven't produced yet, the ones we've been waiting. You see the big economic oil boom going on in our city? You haven't seen the big Grand Parkway? That wasn't just for people to help them get to Katy, to Woodlands. That's for oil to communicate with one another. That's big oil right there doing that, because they are about to drill big time in the U.S. Why? Because we have huge oil reserves. You can look for oil to go up. It's not going to be good news, but it's going up. Anyway, that's enough. Now, one king is about to be unseated. He's going to end his 70-year reign. He's going to get replaced too. Listen to me closely. When the Treasury Reserve notes come out, get them. Get your dollars exchanged for Treasury Reserve notes. Do it quickly. I'm just telling you what to do. Amen. You'll have plenty of time. They don't want to crash. They want to keep their premium. But listen, there's going to be an even playing field in nations. Once all the nation's currencies get attached to the asset of their country, there's no more massive devaluation going on anymore. But since there is a massive devaluation, there's also economic opportunity. I'll just throw that out there and you can chew on it. Amen. So, this prophecy says Tyre is going to commit financial fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. So Tyre is actually going to begin into three parts. This was part two today. We know there's a wealth transference coming. Haggai tells us it. Isaiah 23, it's not been fulfilled. We're looking at our day, my friend. Everyone say, I'm getting positioned. Say, Holy Spirit, position me. Yeah, the powers of the earth may rule the IMF too, but God's going to enter into it. The IMF, by the way, International Monetary Fund, is slated to run all of that now. They're going to be the ones, that's the big war right now. The U.S. owns like 85% voting rights. They don't want to give up their voting rights, and they're saying, you've got to let go here. And they say, we don't have to, and there's a big war. But King Dollar is going to have to let go for a economic world system to come in. Yeah, it's headed for one world government. Yeah, but God's going to get in there, and he's going to release that wealth out of there. He's going to fund his last day revival. He's going to fund his last day apostolic government. Before his bride's taken out, she is going to shine in every way imaginable. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah!